The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I've kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Well, as some of you are aware, it is the Major League Baseball playoff season, and to be honest with you, since the Red Sox are not in it, I haven't been paying particularly close attention. I think the Red Sox were out of it in June this year, actually. I even had to look up on the news this morning to find out who was in the playoffs, because I really had no idea. But I assure you that the members of the Kansas City Royals and the San Francisco Giants are quite aware of everything that's going on in baseball right now. And if you were to ask them at this moment what is most important, every player would state to you that the most important thing right now is the score of the next game. The score. It seems to be what is most important in life. Scores are incredible things, aren't they? There are lots of scores in our lives, and we tend to organize our lives around those scores. Scores of things that we buy. Scores of things that we give. Scores of how nice the things that we have are. We buy and we buy and we buy and we give and we give and we give and we receive and we receive, receive. And we get to the point that the score of our lives just keeps adding up. You know that bumper sticker, the one with the most toys wins? Isn't it just another way of saying that the one with the highest score wins? Though I love the bumper sticker that also says, the one who dies with the most toys still dies. Now don't get me wrong. I like nice things as much as the next person, but far too often we get so caught up in getting another something that we really don't even need, or dare I even say, that we really don't want. And we don't know what to do with these things, and it only clutters up our lives. I know a little bit about this, and I've experienced what it is to get rid of clutter. Many of you know that this past summer I had an opportunity to downsize. I moved from a house of about 3,200 square feet to one with about 1,000 square feet. And I suppose I could have looked for a larger place, but I simply didn't want to. And as I prepared for my move in July, I had to survey everything that I had in my house to determine where it would fit into my new place. I went through the kitchen finding gadgets that I knew I had purchased or had been given, but I never used them. So I just got rid of them. Pieces of furniture that I had no place to put in my house were let go, clothes that no longer fit, or I didn't even like them when I received them as a gift. They went into bags. VCR tapes. Anybody remember VCR tapes? Two boxes of them. For a machine that didn't even exist in my house any longer. Stored items that made it feel like Christmas as I opened up these boxes that I hadn't opened in years to find out that I didn't even remember that I had some of this stuff. And so since I hadn't used it in years, it was time to get rid of it. I handed my daughters garbage bags, you know those big hefty bags? And I told them to go into their rooms and don't come out until two hefty bags each were filled with things that they didn't need or use. And within an hour, they had those two bags filled with stuff. So I'm pretty obnoxious, so I handed them two more bags. And they came out with two more bags filled each. And trip after trip, we drove piles of things, mostly very good, to the Goodwill store on Route 46, that the items might be sold to help others in need. And we let go. We whittled down our things to the point that when moving day came, and there's a number of guys in here who can attest to this, every earthly possession that Emily Perry and I had fit onto a 17-foot U-Haul truck. We're talking beds and sofas and tables and desks and clothing and kitchen, memories and everything. And I want to tell you that I have not looked back once, wishing that I hadn't have gotten rid of any of it. Every time I walk into my place, I smile, and I haven't been more happy in a long time. Having to have a place for tons of things is no longer my concern. Having to have things, really don't worry about it any longer. And amazingly, because of doing this, my cost structure has been tremendously adjusted to a very manageable level. Not having a need for a larger place to store things has reduced my expenses. Our passage today is a conversation between a wealthy man and Jesus. And Jesus appears to be offering this wealthy man an incredible opportunity. He's offering him the opportunity to become the 13th disciple. Follow me, Jesus says. It's not the first time we have heard Jesus use these words. In fact, those are the exact words that he uses to call the first disciples. But this time, there appears to be a condition to following Jesus. This man is to sell all that he has and give whatever he receives for it to the poor. For Jesus seems to know that for this man, what is keeping him from following him is the things that he has. What Jesus seems to understand is that for this man, he is insecure without his things. What Jesus knows about this man is that his things ultimately own him. And it was impossible for this man to follow with those things tying him down. What about you? What's tying you down? What's the score that you have been keeping? The score of what you think you need to survive. But do you really need all of those things? What would it take to give some of those things up to follow Jesus? You know, each one of us has been given so much. And Jesus invites us into a different way of living, a life where we are not keeping score of what we have and what we have not, but rather a life of following Jesus. So what is it this morning that you might be able to give away? What might you have that you would be able to give that might be a blessing to others? What might you give that might be a blessing to yourself? Is it time? Is it a skill? Is it a prayer life? Is it financial? What is it that God has given to you so abundantly that you would think of giving it back, that you might follow? Follow me, says Jesus. The question is, will you? Amen.